Hello, folks. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Federalist Files. On today's show, Biden's disaster at the border, it continues. His UN speech as well, where he praises controlling the world government for climate change. Prepare for the climate change lockdown, which is going to be next. Biden, he begs for a debt ceiling increase. And finally, Facebook has these weird VIP account setups, and we'll talk about that as well. Hello, folks. Thank you for tuning in. As always, I greatly appreciate it. We have a lot of stuff in the news, some weird stuff. I see some Australia. There's rioting. I see videos of people getting arrested for just being outside simply with their children. It's pretty pathetic stuff that's going on worldwide right now. A lot of this news, for the most part, it's kind of slow. It's almost like we're doing the same thing over and over again. I think what's going on is a shifting of the narrative in order to make everyone forget about Afghanistan, forget about the shutdowns, and also forget about the mandatory vaccinations. So right now, you got this border crisis that's been continuing to perpetuate itself. Biden administration officials, they attack Border Patrol themselves. So over the weekend, you had some Haitian immigrants trying to illegally cross the border. And there were horseback riding Border Patrol agents that were whipping them with these, I don't exactly know what they're called, like whipping sticks or something of that nature. So I have Jen Psaki being asked by the media exactly how she felt about this. So pretty much what we've seen across the board from the Biden administration is all of them condemning these Border Patrol agents. So play clip six.
Jen, a follow-up question on Haiti. There are photographs and reports of border agents on horseback using what appear to be whips on Haitian migrants. Does the administration view that as an appropriate tactic? Can you speak to that? There are people who are upset about it.
Yeah, understandably so. I've seen some of the footage. I don't have the full context. I can't imagine what context would make that appropriate, but I don't have additional details. And certainly, I don't have additional context, April. I don't think anyone seeing that footage would think it was acceptable or appropriate.
So there you go. You got Jen Psaki talking about it specifically. She said it's unacceptable and inappropriate. This looks bad overall because especially since these illegal aliens happen to be Haitian, they also happen to be black, which isn't good for the administration considering they care so much about black people and minorities. And now you have Border Patrol officials whipping them at the border. I just think that the narrative is always changing from the media. It's not, these are illegal aliens. It's, oh, well, there's migrants at the border, as if there is no nefarious activity that is taking place at this time. I think that the guys at the border, the entire border debacle situation is a disaster. And I think those guys at the border are acting on behalf of how bad it is. And they just, at that point, they don't know how to handle the situation. And it's really got, it's been exacerbated by the administration. And it got to a point of no return where this had to be the reaction in order to stop people crossing the border. I take this one and I entirely throw this at the feet of the Biden administration, especially because they have been so lackluster, so poor, so malfeasant in their behavior and negligible in how they've dealt with this issue at the border that's been going on now for the last, since Biden has been elected. I mean, it's been going on for like 8 months now at this point. And it's continued to get publicity, but now it gets some extreme publicity because we see guys using force because they, at this point, we just don't know how to mitigate the illegal crossings. And it's because of border, it's because of national policy that has been laid out by Joe Biden. And the policy is, yeah, just come on in. We'll fly you somewhere. We don't even care. You'll come into the U.S. You don't have, and then you have to schedule your own court date. You don't get a scheduled court date, and you could stay in the U.S. And guess what? If you don't show up to that court date, don't worry. No one's going to come take you and deport you to back to your home country. So really, you could just come in. You're not on the books. It doesn't really matter. And do as you please. It doesn't matter at this point. So if that's your policy, if that's going to be your international immigration law in this country, we're going to cease to exist because we're going to have a bunch of people. And especially with the welfare system and how it's been increasing in this country because of the demand by a bunch of liberal left wingers. If this is how it's going to go, then we will cease to exist. And if that's the policy and these guys are being overrun, because once again, we don't know what we saw before that video, I think that these guys are just responding in any way just to stop the bleeding at this point, or just to shut down the insane amounts of people that are coming over. I think the other day somebody was saying, there's a statistic saying, the other day, that video I was showing everybody over the weekend, that day specifically, more people illegally crossed into the United States than crossed like for an entire year or something for the Trump administration. Like, that's how bad the numbers are right now on the border. So now I have Kamala Harris talking about it as well. She kind of does the same game. Play clip 8.
What I saw depicted about those individuals on horseback treating human beings the way they were is horrible. And I fully support what is happening right now, which is a thorough investigation into exactly what is going on there. But human beings should never be treated that way. And I'm deeply troubled about it. The whole point is that we have to understand Haiti. I mean, talk about a country that has just experienced so much tragedy, that has been about natural disasters. And we really have to do a lot more to recognize that as a member of the Western Hemisphere, we've got to support some very basic needs that the people of Haiti have to get back up.
So the policy of the Biden administration is, if your country is doing badly, you can come to our country. We're not going to vet you. There is going to be no immigration process. We're going to allow you right into the country. You won't have to, you'll have to schedule your own court date, which means you don't have to schedule it, and then you just never have to show up or do any of your due diligence, and then you can work off the books, take advantage of some of our welfare programs without paying into the system of Social Security, or rather into the federal government system or the state government system, what have you, right? You don't need to do any of that. Don't worry about it. And additionally, let me just tack on another thing. Kamala Harris, yeah, what we need to do is we need to go and we need to rebuild Haiti and send them aid and send them money, as if there is no corruption in the country. When you send money somewhere, it doesn't just go into the hands of some sort of dictator or the rich guys that are involved over there. Like, that was the grand option. And then additionally, she had to say something like, no human being should be dealt with like that. I highly disagree with that. That's such a hyperbolic, stupid political statement that somebody would make. That's so you can't find any reason for someone to be whipped ever. There's no a murderer, a rapist, a child pedophile, you could never find a reason that you would whip another person or inflict bodily harm on another person. Like, this is such a political, stupid political, like, left-wing, I love everybody, like, statement, and where they use these weird absolutes, and that's why I never, me saying that would be an absolute, but that's why I don't really use absolutes with anything. I attempt to, and I hate to use the word, you know what, actually, I'll use a different word. Things are very complicated, issues are very complicated. Everything has intricacies built into it. There's a lot of variables. And because of that, usually I do not try to go and make these very absolutist statements like she just made there. Because then you look stupid. It was the same thing that Nancy Pelosi did when she was trying to give dignity, imply some sort of dignity when it came to MS-13 members, when Trump called them animals. And she said, no person should ever be called an animal. And I highly disagree with that. I reject that. I repudiate that in its entirety. And I'm sure a lot of you folks at home do as well. We don't stand by murder. We don't stand by child rapists, pedophiles, rapists, just in general, bad people doing bad things. We don't stand by and say, oh, well, you know what? We can't call them animals, because that would just be that'd be intolerant of them and their behavior. We don't do that game here. If we're going to call them whatever we want, because it's a free country, and actions mean much more than words. Okay, so now I have Biden's polling right now in Texas with Hispanics. It's not looking good in a general sense in Texas. It's not looking good, but they strongly disapprove, 34%. 20%, and this is how he, his job as a president in a general sense. This isn't a Dallas poll, but it's taken for all Texans. So yeah, Democrats think that he's been doing a great job, which they just, you know, they have blinders on. They're not paying attention to any of the news. It's the most uneducated population in terms of politics is the Democrat Party, the Democrat voter, the average Democrat voter. So in total, you got 18% strongly approve, 38% strongly disapprove. But the big one is really Latinos, where you see only 13% of them strongly approve and 22% of them approve. So it's like 35% of them actually somewhat approve of the job he's doing. Otherwise, everybody else doesn't. It's not good numbers wise. Latino makes a high population up in Texas. That's just a little poll there. So Abbott asks Biden for some help. This is a hot air piece, and this was before, this was a message before Abbott sent his guys to the border to hold it down and shut down Del Rio, that little weird pass crossing they had on the river there, the Rio Grande. So he said, Abbott points out, and this is, like I said, it's written by Hot Air and by Karen Townsend. Everything that I refer to will be in the show notes below. So Abbott points out to Biden that since 2014, the state of Texas has invested, and this really goes to show, when you have a Democrat, and this shows in a general sense Republican as well, but Republicans more often don't want to spend money, even though they do. But when you have a Democrat as the president, they hold the federal funding, and this is why you don't want a centralized program like we're starting to see in the United States, a big centralized government. Whenever Texas needs help on the border, they have to request it to the federal government. And the federal government, because Texas is red and Texas doesn't like masks and Texas doesn't want to mandate employees to get vaccinations, what's going to happen now is the Biden administration is going to withhold that spending that they would normally give to Texas in order to help establish a secure border. And now this is something that's actually completely different than anything else. So if the state of New Jersey, for instance, if we want money for education, you can request it from the federal government, Department of Education. Department of Education can get the funding, send it to us in New Jersey. Now, that is not a constitutionally protected use of federal government funds or power. There is nothing supporting that use of federal government funds going to a school system in New Jersey. There's just nothing there. You can't find it in the Constitution, right? So in terms of holding down the border, securing the sovereignty of the United States of America as a country, as a national power, that is written explicitly into the Constitution. So there is precedent for the federal government giving funding to Texas or even one of our northern bordering states on the border of Canada in order to secure the border. Okay, there's constitutionality to that aspect, to that spending. It is like one of the very few things the federal government is actually here for. And it's something that they're now going to dodge. They're not going to pay for it. They're going to dodge it, or they're going to pay less into the system. And this is why I'm setting it up this way, because it goes on to say in this article, Abbott, he points out that Biden, that since 2014, the state of Texas has invested more than or almost $3.5 billion to secure the Texas-Mexico border and protect public safety. To cope with this year's surge of migrants, the Texas legislature more than tripled their state spending, providing another $3 billion for border security in the current budget. So we're spending now, in just this year alone, Texas is spending in their budget on the border, they're spending almost more than they have spent the last 8 years combined. Okay, in just the border. Since the state disaster declaration in May, the state of Texas has spent over $84 million more than has been budgeted. Abbott included a list of state agencies that are providing support to local officials. So this is what the problem is. So right now you have the federal government not doing their job. Specifically, what is laid out in the Constitution, they are saying, we don't care about it. We're not going to do our job. We're not going to. And this is a huge, this should be a giant lawsuit, and the federal government should be paying money to Texas, because this is the point of being in the union. Then otherwise, there's no point in having a union. There's no point in having a country. There's no point in having individual sovereign states. If the federal government cannot provide you protection and secure your border, that is their job specifically. It is explicitly laid out in the Constitution. They're supposed to establish that safety between interstate commerce and international countries, you know, bordering countries like Mexico. Now, Texans are going to have to front the bill because Joe Biden is weak on border policy. That's what's going on right now. You have a bunch of people in Texas that are going to get screwed next year on their taxes. And because Joe Biden wants them to bend the knee on masks, on mandatory vaccines, he's not going to give them money. That's what his plan is right now. So before this message, this is before Abbott wrote this message, I'm pretty sure, is he sent his own guys to the border to clean it up because Joe Biden, yeah, it was before. So, yeah, he sent his own guys to the border to clean it up. They rolled heavy deep into the Rio Grande River to shut down that little crossing they had there, as you can see in the picture. Same thing with the Del Rio Bridge. They rolled in. I mean, they were deep in. And that's what has to happen now. You need to have an enforcement unit on the ground, and you need to show people that you're not messing around, because this will just continue. The beatings will continue until morale improves. That should be like the slogan of this administration thus far. I mean, it has been a clown show. It has been a mockery. Whatever you want to say about Donald Trump, man, it's like not even comparable. It's night and day between the two. So this is Greg Abbott's tweet. The Texas Department of Public Safety is in full force along the border along the Del Rio area. They have built a barricade with their squad cars and state troopers. The National Guard is working with them to secure the border. So these are all, and just read all these people that are at the border. None of them are federally funded. They're all state-funded guys. And then as soon as you guys send the federal forces, look what happened. You guys look like idiots, and now you have to walk everything back. So this is outrageous to me. And I just want to hit on this real quick. You have this story with Trump, this memo. News really isn't out verifying it. I have yet to find really the memo itself. Apparently there's a memo saying that Donald Trump knew and his legal team knew that Dominion software was not being used along with Smartmatics, but they were still pushing some sort of story and narrative. Last time I checked, maybe his legal team, in terms of like Rudy Giuliani, he wasn't really pursuing that. It was much more Sidney Powell and whatever, Lynn Wood, that were pursuing that avenue. And Donald Trump was not pursuing that avenue even to begin with. I know that the media is going to go back on this and they're going to go, everyone is so stupid that votes for Democrat that they're going to believe that Donald Trump was the one pushing that these voting machines were broken and all these other things. Donald Trump was not pushing that narrative, really. It was much more his lawyers, Rudy Giuliani a little bit in the beginning, but then Giuliani went on with affidavits throughout the country because he knew that constitutionally it made much more sense to go through that rather than go through this weird Smartmatic software QAnon deal that's going on, which I personally don't know much about. Maybe some of you folks at home listening, you know more about the QAnon stuff than I do. I'm not saying that some of this stuff that Sidney Powell said, I would not be surprised if they somehow found a way to rig it through some sort of set software or virus in the machines. I just don't know any of that stuff, but what they're claiming is Trump knew that they were able to verify and audit these machines before they even went through with any of this legal stuff, which I personally just don't believe. I think they're full of shit. I think they're just making it up right now. And this memo is not going to be as damning as they're reporting it to be. They're just saying that it's really damning. And then when it comes out, it'll be just like the Russia hoax. We're all going to sit there and read it and go, oh, really? They just kind of implied. They made a bunch of assumptions and implications that just were not there. That's how I think this will end with this memo coming out. Everyone's making a huge deal out of this. And the only reason they make a huge deal out of this, once again, just like they did with January 6th. So you had this thing over the weekend. And I don't know if anybody's seen some of the memes that are out. Hilarious memes. It's a bunch of feds. They have this January 6th, you know, what do they call it? Protest for the people that are still in, have yet to be held trial and are in solitary confinement right now. They're being treated inhumanely, a suspension of habeas corpus directly in violation of the Constitution once again, because Democrats don't care. They just rip it apart. We have pictures of these individuals. They're all dressed the same. They have sunglasses on. It's even to the point where you can see their concealed carry on them. I mean, they're federal agents. It's, like, so obvious, and they're the only ones there. A bunch of feds showed up to a protest for 1-6 because they're thinking they're working undercover, and it's obvious that they're feds. I mean, you see pictures of them. The pictures are all over the internet. And the one guy they actually arrested, there's video of it, him saying, hey, I'm a federal officer. I'm working undercover right now. And then they let him go. So the whole thing was a giant sham. They didn't yield any positive results for the Democrats. The Democrats were hoping to set somebody up like they did on January 6th anyway. They were looking to set up a situation like the co-conspirators in the FBI during January 6th, like we have reported that article that came out of the Revolver. All these unindicted co-conspirators at the very top of the of this organized, you know, attack on the Capitol building, which turned out not to be organized. We found out that any organizations were led by the FBI. FBI guys were in the high positions, FBI informants. So it's just, this whole thing's just a joke. It always is. So this weekend was a joke. It was a sham. And then they have to somehow change the narrative because they can't figure. They were hoping that one would be the way for them to completely shift the narrative to say, oh, look at the crazy white supremacists that are here. This day, let's blame Trump for it. Instead, it's Smartmatic software with Dominion systems. Trump knew about it because, you know, Afghanistan has at least a thousand people left over, 1,000 Americans trying to get out that we just left stranded there. We have vaccine mandates, as they call them. We see case rates increasing. Booster shots are not going to be implemented now. We see across the world authoritarian regimes trying to take the people over, and people are in the streets fighting them, fighting their law enforcement officials. So it's just, I mean, you look around the world and you say, oh, there's just authoritarianism is on the rise. And the Democrat Party tries to shut it down as much as they can so you can't see what's actually going on. And that's what they do here when they come out with these stories that I think, I wouldn't call them fabricated. They're probably extremely hyperbolic. I'm sure there's a memo. That part isn't fabricated. It's what's in the memo to me that would probably be fabricated. And that's me straight up speaking out of conjecture because I've been watching politics now for the last 4 or 5 years, and I'm starting to notice the cycles and the trends of what the Democrats do and what the establishment, more importantly, does. So we have nearly 1,000 Americans still trapped in Afghanistan. Like I said, Breitbart News piece written by Joshua Kaplan. You have a former military officer, Jean Marie Thrower, and this is what she had to say. I think she was on, what show was she on? Hold on, let me check real quick. I want to verify, just for consistency purposes. Trace Gallagher. So she was on Fox News talking with Trace Gallagher about how many Americans are trapped in Afghanistan, and he says it's maybe around 1,000. She says definitely there are more than the 100 being said. We have multiple groups of teams working together, and we continue to work with these rosters to know where they are at. I want to say as a veteran that I am appalled by our administration and how they disrespected Americans and our allies, as well as put our soldiers' future operations globally in jeopardy. So I think that, you know, the media likes to play this all off right now. I do think that there's a lot of people that believe, whether you're Democrat or Republican or independent, that this administration is a nightmare. It's a travesty. It's egregious. What's going on right now, nationwide, I think the sentiment and the opinion from those who pay attention, I think the Democrats have their heads partially in the sand because they don't want to hear it, but then in the sand at the same time because it's like, we're idiots, we screwed this one up. And the Republicans obviously are taking, like, they're not taking, it's unfortunate because Republicans right now would be taking a victory lap to say pretty much I'm right. Same thing with independents, but that's not what's going on right now. Republicans are like sitting there fighting, hoping that their job doesn't get taken from them. That's what's going on right now, realistically. It's just kind of, the whole thing's just disappointing. So Biden turns his back on Americans in Afghanistan, Daily Wire piece. Emily Zanotti is the writer. So this was Biden at the United Nations conference. This is what he had to say. And I have a little bit more on this as well with some of this climate change stuff. He said, and I quote, "We stand, in my view, at an inflection point in history, and I'm here today to share with you how the U.S. plans to stand with partners and allies in answering these questions. I stand here today for the first time in 20 years with the United States not at war. We've turned the page 20 years of conflict in Afghanistan, and as we close this period of relentless war, we're opening a new era of relentless diplomacy, of using the power of our development aid to invest in new ways of lifting people up around the world, end quote. Yes, so, I've heard world leaders are not happy about this speech because they're worried about the influence of the Chinese in that area, and also when Britain and France were trying to get their people out of Afghanistan and they were looking for to America, because everybody looks to America, and I hate to say this, because internationally I know there's a lot of people that are pissed off about war and stuff, but everybody looks to America in a general sense as the country, the do-gooders, not the best gooder, not perfect, but moreover than not, than everywhere else in the world, and you know, there's corrupt governments everywhere. But ours, they would think when they look at the United States, they go, oh, they're a powerful nation. They're the do-gooders. They're supposed to be like, you know, the hall monitors, if you will, in a dorkier way of saying it. So other countries look to us, look to our guidance, look up to us as leaders, and they're looking for guidance from us, and we let them down. So international leaders, I was reading some articles, I want to say it was New York Post, but they're not happy about this UN speech that Biden gave. It looks weak. People are really worried about China. China could take Taiwan. Taiwan creates a lot of our microprocessing chips in our, whether it's our vehicles, whether it's any computer, TV, almost every single electronic device has some sort of form of a CPU unit in it, computer processing unit. Which is just a little chip, you know, Intel Core processor or whatever the Mac uses. I can't remember what they use, Apple. So, yes, they're worried about that right now. And Biden just turned his back on Americans that live in Afghanistan. He said, it's over. We're going to walk away from this one and we'll see what happens. And China's going to step in. They're going to take the power vacuum and they're going to destroy the land just for the physical properties, just for the natural resources that are there. That's what they're there for. So we'll see what happens. It's definitely not good, folks. We look very weak internationally. Whether you want to pull out of Afghanistan or not, that's really not the debate right now. The debate, moreover than anything else, is that we left a bunch of our people, American citizens, behind. It's pathetic. So Biden, he addresses, and in the same UN speech, he addresses climate change. Epic Times piece. So it starts off, it states, and this is exactly from the speech, and I quote, "The United States is ready to work with any nation that steps up and pursues peaceful resolution to shared challenges, even if we have intense disagreements in other areas, because we will all suffer the consequences of our failure if we do not come together to address the urgent threats like COVID-19, climate change, or enduring threats like nuclear proliferation." So Biden called for the nations to bring their highest ambitions to the table ahead of the UN climate change conference planned at Glasgow, Scotland in November, and reiterated a pledge he made in April to reduce U.S. greenhouse gas emissions by 50 to 52% below 2005 levels by 2030. So, I mean, 2030, Biden's not going to be alive anymore. So all of this stuff is conjecture. It's all crap. It doesn't really matter. The legislative authority has not approved any of this. So it's just the executive branch saying, yeah, we're just going to do everything. We've never seen in this country an executive that has overstepped their power so much. We've never seen the executive branch be this powerful in this country, where it's almost like pretty much, and it's funny because I have, you know, my sister, I was, and these are people that are apolitical, my own little sister, I talked to her about mandates, about these vax mandates, and I told her the way the system of government works. I said the president doesn't have any power to do this stuff that he's doing, executive orders in a general sense. And she looks at me, and she knows, I'm telling you, she's apolitical, doesn't pay attention. She goes, to me, it just sounds like we have a dictator. And I said, yeah, that's what's going on right now. We have a dictator in the office. And in the office of president, we have somebody that is a dictator. Whether it's him or the people behind him, they are acting as a dictator in the executive branch right now. And this is the other now new topic that's going to start coming up, I think. Some of this climate change stuff. So you had the World Economic Forum, which is the world bankers, bankers from the United States, bankers from Great Britain, France, whatever, what have you. I think Italy, too, which Italy, as an Italian guy, I don't really take Italy as a serious country. They're kind of like third worldy, which is fine. I mean, they live just like a very simple way of life, but World Economic Forum, all these bankers, they get together, and one of their biggest topics was climate change. They talk about how are we going to print money or hold money, mess around with the monetary policy in order to mitigate climate change. So what they want to do is they want to print money, because by printing money or not printing money, you control the value of the currency of the US dollar. If you continue to print more money, then you inflate the dollar, you make it worth less. If you hold money, then you're supposed to make the dollar worth more. So that's what they're talking about. They're talking about how is it that we're gonna combat climate change? And then they also think if we print an abundance of money and we just take it and we jam it down with climate change incentives, we're gonna control the economy. It's really weird that we have an organization that's considered independent of the government running the government, people that are unelected, the bureaucracy. That's the point of this entire thing. When they come through with a bureaucracy, it just means a bunch of people that are making decisions about your life that are not accountable to you at all, that you didn't elect. That's the problem with the bureaucracy, and that's what's going on right now. We have our legislative branch has passed on a lot of their powers and their, not only their powers, their duties and their responsibilities off to these separate bureaucracies that don't give a shit because we're not the ones electing them. They're just selected into their position of power. So what we're going to see now is not only you have the World Economic Forum that's talking about controlling the economy and controlling the American people by printing, not printing, what have you, doing whatever they want to mess with your dollar, mess with your bank account, because remember, when they do this to you and you have money sitting in the bank, they're devaluing your currency by printing more. So they're going to push, this is going to be the next push, because they've already set the precedent here. The Biden administration and a lot of these Democrat politicians have set the precedent that you could just shut down the economy. It's no problem. You could shut down 30% of small businesses. You can take money from small businesses, all of their customer base and all of their value, and you can shift it over to Jeff Bezos and his boys and the big fat cats that were, and I hate to be the guy that sits here and talks about big corporations, but when you shut down a bunch of small businesses in favor of big corporations, now we don't have capitalism, we don't have free markets. This is called cronyism. It's called load of crap. This is what goes on in China. This is the Chinese Communist Party system that we have right now implemented in the United States in terms of business, where the government is and big industry is collaborating together. So like I said, Biden, climate changes. Change. New York Post piece, David Harsanyi is the writer. So, and this is talking about specifically climate change, and because Biden gave this little speech about how, you know, this happened, that happened, which is just specific events. And that really has nothing to do with climate change, because then you can point back to other events that happened in history when apparently climate change wasn't a big deal. And they're very similar to what's currently going on. So having these big weather events, unless if it's outside of the standard deviation of what is considered normal, then it's really just that data is just considered irrelevant. So the reality is probably difficult to accept for a generation subjected to decades of fear-mongering, but climate anomalies are nothing new. When a freak snowstorm hit Texas this year, the administration used it to push draconian policy, but the Texas storm was no different than the rare 1973 blizzard that hit the South. It happens, which David Harsanyi is correct. Yes, it does happen. So it goes on to explain more different scenarios. Certainly there are, or certainly they aren't any more dangerous. Back in 1900, the great Galveston hurricane likely killed some 10,000 people in Texas. In 1926, the Great Miami hurricane killed 372, causing an estimated inflation adjusted $157 billion in damage, which is a crazy amount of damage. Only around 150,000 people lived in all of Dade County in those days. When Katrina hit New Orleans in 2005, it was a Category 3. Most of the damage had to do with how ill-prepared the city was for any storm. So yes, we've had these major weather events, and they've happened over time. And then he actually kind of talks about, which I thought was interesting, is the death toll isn't as high now as it was years ago because we're more prepared for it and all these other things, which I thought was kind of interesting. But it goes on. They're going to start doing COVID-19, how they had the COVID-19 lockdowns. They're going to do that now with climate change. This is on the precipice. I don't know when, it's not if it will happen. It's really when it will happen. So as a recent Nature Journal piece notes, COVID-19 lockdowns have prepared people for personal carbon allowances, restrictions on individual freedoms that were unthinkable only 1 year before, have us more prepared to accept the tracking and limitations to achieve a safer climate, the piece notes, which is right. So implemented, especially in a lot of other countries, they have these weird like QR codes that you have to scan so the government knows where you are. This is how it's working in Australia right now. So they know when they get a notification if you leave your house for too long. They get a notification and then the cops show up to lock you up. That's what goes on. That's what's going on right now. And I think Victoria, Australia specifically. So this tracking limitations, personal carbon allowances, that's what's going on right now when people are sitting at home and they're just ordering stuff online. They're not leaving their house. And they're going to do this through vehicles. They're going to regulate the vehicles where they hit you with an extra tax on how much you drive. If there's no gas tax, if we go electronic. They want to know every single aspect of your life. And how much are you using the roads? Oh, you drove 45,000 miles this year? Okay, we're going to hit you with an extra tax because you utilize the roads more than everybody else. Now, and originally, taxation on the tolls on the roads were actually supposed to only be for to fund World War II, and they've stayed ever since. So government just continues to get bigger, and this is to achieve a safer climate. So to equate it to this situation, it's to achieve to be safe from COVID-19. It's the same thing. It's the same ideology, the same methods. It's just at the very end, the threat is different. The threat in this case would be climate change. And many self-proposed defenders of our democracy have been clamoring for the Department of Health and Human Services to take unilateral action and treat climate as a public health issue or to declare a climate emergency. The White House has given the issue a required identity-based twist, noting the global warming's risk disproportionately affects poor and minority communities, as they do with everything. So yeah, what they do is they do the virtue signal thing. We care more about Black people and Hispanic people and their disadvantage by climate change. So what we're going to do is we're going to force everybody to live inside their houses and not leave and not be able to drive their cars around and restrict their access to everything and freedom. And they do this thing. They go through the public health issue, and this is just them utilizing the bureaucracy, like I mentioned before. They did the same thing with the CDC study on gun violence. They were going to make it a public health issue. They hide it behind that guise in order to try to pass legislation, but guess what? It's not legislation. It's just executive orders for gun control, which is not valid. These are all invalid edicts by the government. As soon as they go through some sort of bureaucracy, that's how you realize it's total bullshit and it just is crap. And it's stuff that they know they can't get passed through the legislative branch. And that's why they don't go towards the legislative branch. They don't try to actually pass what would be considered valid a law. Americans experienced the authoritarian reach of government during the pandemic. We see what is being normalized in Australia right now. Carbon emissions are embedded into nearly everything in our economy. If Democrats believe that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention should be empowered to declare an eviction moratorium and unilaterally discard property rights, you can imagine what sort of thing awaits this nation if they can declare climate change as an emergency, which, yes, that's what they're going to start doing. They would request you to move in with a family that you don't even know. Everyone have to live in one building, and they'd go around knocking down all of the other buildings because you no longer have property rights. Doesn't matter because it's all about climate change and survival, and we're all in this together. They will use this plan that they have used, and they've set a precedent with COVID-19. They'll use the same plan all over again, but the threat will just be climate change instead of COVID. It's amazing. So Biden, he writes to state legislatures. This is a Daily Wire piece, and I'm just going to read this off. He's asking them to raise the debt ceiling. Right now it's around $28.7 trillion, I believe. Very high, obviously. He says that the economy otherwise will crash, which is Not true. I don't think because then that means that if the federal government, you're telling me if the federal government was unable to function, that the economy would crash? I don't know if that's necessarily true. The economy kind of runs itself. You guys just get involved and you screw it up. Yeah, so continue. This is the note that he wrote, which really he didn't write. Somebody else wrote it for him, and they put his and he signed it on the very bottom. So raising or suspending the debt limit does not authorize new spending commitments. It simply enables the government to pay the obligations that Congresses and presidents of both parties have already approved. We expect Congress to act promptly to raise or suspend the debt limit and protect the full faith of the credit and the credit of the United States, just as it did in a bipartisan fashion three times during the prior administration and about 80 times since 1960. Hitting the debt ceiling could cause a recession. Economic growth would falter, unemployment would rise, and the labor market could lose millions of jobs. City and state revenues often decline during a recession as revenues fall due to declining incomes and spending. If the U.S. defaults on its debt, cities and states could experience a double whammy. Falling revenues and no federal aid as long as Congress refuses to raise or suspend the debt limit. This means critical state services will be at risk for budget cuts, from education to healthcare to pensions. So, they're not going to cut education. Okay, that's not going to happen. I don't know why even. They always use those because, you know, the kids are so important. They use your kids more than anything, and then they put masks on their face and they make them swallow, cloth. That's what they do. They abuse your children, and then they act like they care about your kids. They don't care about you. They don't care about your kids. They're going to use. First thing is, the federal government not being funded has really not much to do with the economy. It doesn't affect, there's no economic growth that will falter from that happening. There's nothing the federal government is doing to create jobs. The federal government is a net loser. They do not create jobs. They do not make jobs. They are a net loser in our society, especially in today's day and age when everything's already pretty much built. All of these roads, for the most part, are built up already. We don't need the federal government to come in and screw it up. And a lot of these roads are also maintained by the states. They're no longer maintained by the federal government. Okay? The labor market's not going to lose millions of jobs because the federal government's not taking your tax money or they're not extending the debt. That's just crap. It's not true. He's just straight up simply making it up. And there's not going to be a falling decline of spending or incomes because the federal government isn't stealing your paycheck and isn't raising the debt ceiling. And really, it's not stealing your current paycheck. They're still going to be taking money out, but stealing your paycheck and your children's paycheck in the future, even a higher percentage, a higher cut of that. We're going to start seeing some crazy numbers in terms of taxation if some of this stuff gets passed through. And I don't know how we're going to pay for it. It's not good. It's definitely. That will be the economic decline when you're going to have a bunch of people that can't spend because the government's taking all of their money from them. That's what's going on right now. And whether you want to spend money or you want to save it or whatever you put your money to the side for, you won't even have money to do anything with. And that's what they want. They want you to not have any money because that's less freedom for you. You will rely on them for your own money, money that you make that they confiscate from you, and you say, hey, please, can I have it back? That's what they want you to do. They want you to rely on them for your money. That's why they continue to raise the debt ceiling. This is why they like the idea of spending, because it will be so far exacerbated, and it'll be to the point where you're paying them to give you your money back, or just hope that you get your money back at the end of the year. It's pathetic what's going on. And, you know, there's this housing crisis right now. And let me actually check my stocks. They're probably not doing so well. I know crypto took a huge dump over the last day. Let me see the stocks. One stock I got isn't too bad. I got like one stock left. I sold a lot of them off. Not financial advice. But, yeah, there's a housing market crash. And this actually goes to show that communism doesn't work and central planning doesn't work. Hashtag Barack Obama, central planner. That was his job before he was the senator, before he was the president. It's a useless job. The government shouldn't be centralized planning anything in terms of housing. And that's what happened in China. So what happened in China is the government centrally plans the housing. So what happened was They have tons of houses, and they don't have anyone to buy the houses. Market crash, market bubble. It went from, like, something, I forget the name of the company, I want to say it was Evergreen or something like that. They went from $4, their stock, to 50 cents, like, in a couple of minutes, it looked like. It was unbelievable. So that's what goes on in the communist countries, and it will have an effect on us, because if you start seeing this going on throughout the world where everyone's defaulting, that means that the debt is unsustainable in other countries, and the debt eventually, it will catch up to the United States. The only reason it hasn't really caught up to us is because we are like the world reserve currency for the most part. I don't think Russia or China is using us anymore, because it is starting to catch up to us. So Facebook has a list of VIPs. I thought this was interesting. I kind of held up on this story. And you'll notice this podcast, I'm really not going over some of the stuff that the mainstream news is, because it's kind of just beating you over the head over and over again with the same content. Some of this border stuff, they'll just keep talking to you about the same thing over and over again. I'd much rather talk about how the government's trying to take our rights from us and take our freedom and take our money more than anything. I think that's much more important. Some cultural stuff as well, I think, is extremely important on this show. But some of the semantic crap that they talk about, this person said this person said that, I think it's just kind of a waste of time. Facebook has a list of VIPs. This is a Blaze article written by Chris Pandolfo. I feel like I've read something very similar to this on this show before. And this relates to me, because I think it was last week, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez put something out. Like, she was tough, saying, I will do this, and I will continue to do this, like, from her perch that she makes $180,000 a year, from her perch in D.C. with all the money that supports her campaign, and then she's selling shirts that are, like, $60, because she's totally a socialist, you know. And then I responded something about saying trannies. I was like, I will continue to say tranny. There's nothing you guys can do to stop me from saying tranny. So then, in response, if you guys follow me on Twitter, you understand I'm very crass, and I don't really care much for anything. Hate the McCains. So if then I get suspended for 12 hours. I've said those kind of things before, never suspended. And it's because AOC has like a team that works at Twitter dedicated to helping her out and stifling any opponents of hers by either deleting their tweet, throttling it so it's not seen by other people that are reading her tweet. Bring it to the very bottom of the comments, essentially, so no one sees it. Or just suspending people that are mean to her. They have a special team just to help AOC out. They have this same setup at Facebook. It's called CrossCheck or XCheck. That's what the program's called. And it was initially developed as a quality control measure for actions taken against high-profile accounts. The Journal reported, and I think this was the Washington, or what was it? I can't remember. The Wall Street Journal. That's what it was. It is intended to prevent PR fires or the bad press that comes from an erroneous enforcement action taken against people considered VIPs. So who are these VIPs exactly? They're blue checkmark people. They're you know, the elitist class, politicians, celebrity class. The effect of this program is that there are, and I'm quoting, invisible elite tiers, end quote, within Facebook that determine who must follow the rules and who gets a special exemption that allows them to break the rules without fear of consequences. Approximately 5.8 million high-profile Facebook users were protected from enforcement action as of 2020, and only 10% of the posts protected by XCheck are actually reviewed, according to documents obtained by the Journal. End quote. So yeah, this XCheck pretty much just shows that the elitist class is above everybody else. And if you, they have dedicated people just working and programs just developed to help out their people. And it's not going to be Jesse Kelly. It's not going to be, you know, Tom Cotton. It's not going to be the right wing. It's the left wing. It's the celebrity class. They're going to sit there and push abortions. They're going to push sexual assault of your children, putting masks on their face, pedophilia. They're going to support transgenderism. And like I said, sexual abuse of your children through transgenderism and some of these weird surgeries and hormone therapies that children are getting before they even hit puberty. they support all of those things. Abortion, of course, if I didn't mention that one as well. And if you talk against them, if you object to their edicts, then you're going to get kicked off from the platform, or you're going to be throttled so no one can see your opinion. What is going on right now, it's a war, like I've said before, it's a war on information. And the ones holding the keys, the kingmakers, are Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Google, you know. They're the ones that hold the power. They hold the keys to this castle. And they're the ones that determine what you see in your search results, what you see even in the comment section. And I noticed this with Joe Rogan's podcast. As years went on, the YouTube comment section, the conservative viewers were not seen. They were nowhere to be found. And it was like they all were just gone. The trolls, obviously, as well, were just, everyone was just gone. You could not post. They would block your post and throttle it out. So, that, yeah, that's what's going on right now with the big tech industries, which is why they suck. And they're trying to rig things. They try to rig elections. They're using their private companies. They're leveraging it. To enforce what they their personal political beliefs and their political narratives that they want to be reported. So there's never been, in terms of newspapers, there's never been a worldwide, or yet really a worldwide push to lull a bunch of people to sleep, a worldwide push to impact what people think based on what their search results histories are. Because Google touches everyone in the nation. It's the first search engine that you would go on when you, I mean, there's even a verb called Google it, you know? So they touch everybody in the nation. Everybody gets to see search results on Google. And they know that that's the best way to impact the minds and the thoughts and the beliefs of a population, is you touch every single one with search results that are in the favor of the Democrat Party and the progressive leftist liberal / socialist communists. So that'll conclude this one, folks. I greatly appreciate you all for tuning in. It might have been a little shorter today, which is good. You know, it's not much shorter, but shorter today. I greatly appreciate everybody tuning in as always. Please like, share, subscribe. If you're new to the podcast, I greatly appreciate you tuning in. I've been noticing I have some more viewership. We're just getting started. We do politics here. We talk conservative politics. We talk anti-establishment stuff. That's what we do. If you're liberal, conservative, independent, I don't care. Come here, watch the show, leave a negative comment. You can find me on Twitter, Facebook, whatever. Say whatever negative comment you have. I don't really care. It doesn't really mean much to me. And yeah, folks, I greatly appreciate you all tuning in. Please drop the mic, let people know about the podcast, and I will see you all next time. Thank you.